We're going to talk about, as Lee said, we're going to talk about reconciliation, or my title is Christ Came to Reconcile. As Lee pointed out, I am a CPA by trade, and I'm going to ask you, if you will, to bear with me because I want you to think about, I know we're here to talk about Christ and that the Lord is coming, but we're going to talk a little bit about, there it is, reconcile. This is a new switch here, so I'm going to try to point some things. I hope somewhere there's a pointer on here. Top button. There it is. There's a couple of scriptures that I want to talk to you about. Before we get started, the one in Colossians over here is the main scripture we're going to use. Colossians 1, 20 through 22. And through Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, speaking of Jesus. Through Him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens, and you being in times past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath He, Jesus, reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unprovable before Him. That's the main verse we're going to talk about. There's another in Romans that says almost the same thing. And if you've noticed, I've underlined those words that correspond. To reconcile. Let me try again. I did something, Lee. Now it's not working. Could you move it for me, please? There it is. The definition of to reconcile, to restore, to resolve, to put right, to change back to the way it was originally, or it originally was. Excuse me. So if I ask you to think about, from an accountant's standpoint, or maybe those of you that have bank accounts, if you had a bank account, you have to reconcile it every month. Not everybody does that. So I tried to think of an example that most of us have probably, if not been associated with, know something about. If you worked for a union or you worked for someone and you were having disputes and you needed to be reconciled or you needed to put things back the way they were, let's take, for example, where there was a labor union and where there was a company, the working force. You have the labor unions in charge of the workers are there, and then you have management. And the labor unions want, obviously, better working conditions, better pay, better benefits for their people. Management, on the other side, they're looking for staying productive, staying profitable, more production, those type things. So if you will, you've got two groups that need to be reconciled, right? So they have to do something. They have to negotiate, correct? They have to figure out how to get where they're on equal terms. My title of this lesson is Christ Came to Reconcile. If you remember in Colossians chapter 1, it talks about being holy. God is holy. Let me give you a better example than the labor unions in that. Can you remember back to the garden in Genesis 1 when it was perfect? There was no separation between God and man. It was perfect. Then something entered in and caused there to be a need for reconciliation. Sin entered the world through Adam. And forever, there's a separation there. God is holy. God has nothing to do with sin. He can't. It is something, It is not who He is. God is holy. We're going to talk about that. If you go back and look at Colossians chapter 1, that verse talks about God's holiness and how we're reconciled back to being holy with Him. In the garden, Adam was perfect with God. He walked with God. Adam and Eve both walked with God. Yet sin entered, and there was forever a change. There was a need. Oops, went the wrong way. We're going to talk about God's holiness and how we're sinful, and that's why Jesus came. Ed led into this lesson perfectly. He ended his lesson with the blood of Christ and how precious it is. And he talked about the propitiation, Jesus being the perfect and only way we could be reconciled back to God. If you have your Bibles, I don't have these scriptures here. My lovely wife helped me, and I kept telling her, there's no way I'm going to be able to get through this lesson in time. She looked at it and she said, you know, you could do like Lee, and instead of having all your scriptures listed out, every tile, you know, I've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that right? Yeah, 6 listed there, and I think I have 7 on my paper. So those were each tiles. And she said, you know, if you do like Lee and put them all on one, foolish me, I said, well, I don't want to be like Lee. Guess what? The only way we're going to get through this is if I follow his example. I'll try not to go too fast. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to each of these. I will quote from the American Standard. That's what I use. I know I'm old-fashioned, but it's what I use. Exodus 15, chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? I really want you to concentrate on the holiness of God, because that's our God. He's perfect. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, there is none holy as Jehovah, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Now, I skipped Isaiah. I'm going to come back to it, okay? If you notice, it's underlined. There's another one that's underlined. I'm going to come back to those. In Psalms 99, it's actually in 3 verses in that book, in that chapter. In Psalms 99, verse 1, verse 5, and verse 9, but I'm just going to read verse 5 and verse 9 for you. Exalt ye Jehovah our God, and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Exalt ye Jehovah our God, and worship at His holy hill, for Jehovah our God is holy. Now we're going to look at at Isaiah and Revelation together. If you have Isaiah, please turn over to Isaiah chapter 6, and then we'll immediately go over to Revelations chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. My son-in-law quoted the first 5 or 6 verses of this reading this morning at 8:30. I'm not nearly that good, so you'll bear with me as I read. Isaiah 6, verses 2 and 3. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And the 4 living creatures, having each one of them 6 wings and full of eyes round about and within, and they had no rest day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. We'll get to 1 Peter here in just a minute. God is holy. Our God is perfect. That's why it says Jesus came to reconcile us back to God, because we're not. Sin entered the world and we're sinful. We're going to talk about being enemies of God here in a minute. But I want you to think about our God. He's perfect. And before we leave that subject, we've read two verses that say our God is holy, holy, holy. Why is it said three times? Two verses, one in the Old and one in the New, God is described by saying holy three times. Anywhere else in Scripture where an attribute of God is mentioned three times altogether? Pure. I could ask Ed, he taught on the attributes of God. Any of the attributes of God, I'll just tell you, there's not. Long-suffering is not found in Scripture. No other attribute of God is mentioned three times. Why is that? What is holiness? What is holy? It is something that is set apart. God is perfect. Now, you remember in Scripture where Jesus said several times, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Twice that word "verily" is mentioned. Why? Because Jesus wants to make a point. It's important. Do you remember what Jesus said to Saul on the road to Damascus? "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He calls his name twice for emphasis. Yet here in Scripture, on two different occasions, God is called not just holy, not just holy, holy, but holy, holy, holy is our God. Yeah, for emphasis, I'm trying to make a point. I want you to understand our God is perfect. And He loves us so much. We're going to look here in just a few minutes how much He loved His creation. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter. I want to give you a real quick indication how much our God loves us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Peter writes, "Be ye holy." Because it is written, Peter says in verse 16 of 1 Peter 1, "Because it is written, you shall be holy." Why? Because I'm holy. God wants us to be reconciled, to be brought back. Do you remember that definition? To be put back the way it was originally, like in the garden. God wants us back. But before we can get there, why can't we just go back to God now? Why did Jesus have to come? Why did He have to be our reconciliation? Sin entered the world, right? I'm going to back up and try to get there without... I should have put this in there instead of doing it this way. Look at that verse. Do you see in those two verses what we are to God? I'm afraid to push that button. Right there. Do you see that word? You see that word? While we were yet enemies. Have you ever thought of yourself as an enemy of God? I keep pointing at this screen thinking that the screen's going to do it. We're enemies of God. Because we sin. If I ask you to raise your hand, please don't. But if I ask you to raise your hand, are we all sinners? Yeah, we are. Sins, one, they separate us from God. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, I'm not going to quote those exactly, but behold, Jehovah's hand is not short that He's not willing or able to save. But what's come between us that He won't hear our prayers? Our sins. Our sins have come between us. Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But yours and mine iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sins, it will die. The soul that sins, it will die. We all know Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, but let me quote those for you. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3. Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Peter 3, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who do evil. The definition of sin is in James. I didn't read that one. James 1:15, it talks about when sin is conceived and it's full blown, it brings forth death. Have you ever thought, man, you got any enemies? That's what God has. That's us, brothers and sisters, that's us. We are God's enemies because Romans 3:23 says we have all sinned. And we have. We are God's enemy. So, go back. Think of that picture that I tried to paint. The reconciliation. You have your bank account, and I say I have $100 in there, and the bank says I have $89. Well, there's $11 difference between that. How do I figure out what? Well, on my side, I've got some checks that haven't cleared the bank, right? Because I've done my work, and so I've got to add or subtract those checks that haven't cleared the bank yet. Well, that still doesn't make us right. What's going on? Oh, there's that nasty little service fee that the bank has that I keep forgetting about. And I don't have that in my books. So I got to make adjustment for that nasty fee. You see how there's something that has to happen on both sides? You see that? What is reconciliation? Something has to happen. God is holy, and we're sinful. So how do we get reconciled to God? Several times today, and yes, last night, John 1 has been mentioned. John the Baptizer sees Jesus coming and says, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was our Lamb. They understood that in the Old Testament. That lamb was going to die and shed its blood. And John was telling the people of his day, hey, that's the Savior. He's going to die for us. Romans 5, just verse 8. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at a couple of things in a couple of verses in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, We've studied that before. But I want to look at a couple of verses here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul, the writer to the church in Ephesus, says, "In whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Christ, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies, remember that? We looked at that verse in Corinthians and Romans. While we were yet enemies of God, he sent his Son. Ed said we need to study more about the blood. You notice up there, I'm sorry, I pointed this because this is, I'm so blind anymore, I have to use these glasses. And the last time I saw you preach, you didn't have those glasses on. We're getting a little older, each one of us. So I keep pointing here because I can see that. And it tells me what's behind me. Look at how many times blood is mentioned in these verses. God, who is holy, his creation sins. There's a separation there because God is holy. And he can have nothing to do with us ever, ever again because we've sinned. But while we were yet enemies, sinners, God sent his Son to die. And Ephesians 1:7 says that we have redemption through the blood of Christ. Turn over to chapter 2. Look at verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you that once were afar off are made nigh." How? "In the blood of Christ." We were a long way off through sin. Because of sin, we were no longer friends of God. Walking with God, we were separated from God. Turn over to 1 Peter. I know I'm asking you to turn to a lot of different places, but I want you to see that this isn't just something that I put together. This comes from the wonderful words that God has given to each and every one of us. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1. 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold from your vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers, but with the blood of Christ." Oh, wait. I didn't read that right, did I? Back up to verse 19. "But with the precious blood." With the precious blood. "As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ." Think about it. Our God, holy, separate from us because of our sin, yet what did he do? He gave the perfect and the only gift that could reconcile us back. Our God, our holy God, who loved us so much, gave his only Son. Watched him die. The writer, Peter, says it was the precious blood of Christ that redeemed us back. Revelations. There's several, three verses here I want to look at in Revelations. Revelations 1:5. "And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins by his blood." He loved us. He freely gave Himself to die. Look over at chapter 7, verse 14. Chapter 7, verse 14. And I say unto him, My Lord, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they that come of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even to death. And the last one I've got there is Romans 5:9-10. Now, if you remember, we read Romans 8 earlier that talks about that while we were yet sinners, God gave His Son. Look over at 9:10. Romans 5:9-10. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved. So Roger, what's your point here? Think about our holy God. Our holy God has enemies. That's us. And the question before us is, Christ came to reconcile. Why? Why did He need to reconcile? Because we sinned. We sinned. Do you want to walk with God again like Adam and Eve did in the garden? That's what we're after. That's why Jesus came to reconcile us back to God. The only gift that God could give, the only thing God could do to put us back with Him. He loved us so much. So if you remember that little drawing that I had about labor unions and management or your bank account, how there was things that needed to be done on each side of that ledger, if you will. Picture in your mind, I don't have it up here, but picture in your mind, oh, maybe I did. There's God, our holy God. And there we are. Now God did His part, didn't He? He loved us so much that He gave His only Son. What did we do? What? There's nothing on our side. Well, isn't that what a reconciliation is? When you're reconciled, if a husband and wife are separated, don't... There's got to be some sort of reconciliation. There's got to be the one, they each have to give something. Right? Remember, we talked about the bank account, how, you know, I have to make adjustments on my side and the bank has to make adjustments to, well, okay, God's done His part. He's holy. He gave the only thing that could reconcile us back to Him, and that was the perfect blood of Christ. Okay, now what do we do? There's nothing. And we're not talking about salvation and the steps to salvation. What we're talking about today is Christ came to reconcile us back to God. We've sinned. There's no way we can get back. And what I'm asking you to do today is to think about our holy God, how holy He is, and how we're not. Yet, even in our sin, God gave the perfect gift. Gant used that example, and I was talking to him before we started. You remember the dog that was up there? And he talked about, would you, to save all the dogs in all the world, would you become a dog? Travis was shaking his head. I told Gant, I said, man, there's no way I would do that. What a perfect example for us to think about. Our God, our Savior. Scripture says He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself to become human. He gave up everything for us. So the point of the lesson is, you're worth it. God says you're worth it. Not just us. Not just, look around. Not just us. But those people you work with every day. Those people driving by. Those people that are next door to you. That are across the street from you. That are across the street from me. Met my neighbors for the first time in 6 years. It's a funny story. I'll tell you about it sometime. House has been vacant for 6 years and they showed up out of the clear blue sky. So I called the police. Think about it. Look around you. God loved us so much. Our holy God. That He gave His only Son to reconcile us back to Him. And there's nothing we can do but love Him so much and take that message to all those around us. I won't apologize for being short. The lesson's yours. Thank you very much.